You're listening to the Wait, What If podcast. Be prepared to expand your mind and question your reality. As always, your host, Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome to the Wait, What If podcast. I am your host, Kevin Sullivan. Thank you for joining us today, everybody. This is a very special episode because we are coming. If we could advertise this show, I would actually have a trailer that says, on a very special episode. I think I used this joke before. It shows you like I'm a one-trick pony.
Oh, no.
I did a few weeks ago. I used the same trick.
Actually, sometimes when I'm listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. I will think, I wish I had said this, and then I'll say it.
Oh, really?
I'll forget that I already had said it.
That's good or bad.
I guess it's terrible.
That reduces
like
your range of...
on a loop.
Reduces your range of thinking. Yeah. No, but this is a special podcast. It's technically... No, we'll call it... This is a live podcast. So we are... coming to you from the brunt of Hurricane Matthew, which is actually kind of weird because we were actually working on another project tonight. I wanted to come on because I don't remember why I wanted to come on. Oh, because we were talking about how down here where I am, we got totally slammed. Like it was a hurricane here. And over where you were, like an hour away, you guys had... Did you have wind or anything?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Oh, you weren't there.
Yeah, I left town, so...
And you weren't even... You didn't have any weather out in Asheville?
Actually, we went up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it was so windy. I had to pick up my dog. He's 6.5 pounds. I had to pick him up. And
he was getting blown around?
I was pretty sure that he would have just blown away.
That's funny.
It was very windy.
No, but what happened to us... So usually you lose power or something like that, which is fine. I have things, you know, what do you... candles and flashlights and whatever. And I always think I have food storage. I don't have a lot. I'm not a psycho, but I have enough that what I do is it's kind of weird how I feel like if you say that you're prepared for a disaster, you're a prepper. You're a freaking weirdo that has guns and survival food and all that, but you're not. I could sustain my family for multiple weeks with food and water and not worry about it. They'll have food and all that. And
wow. So, I mean, like in your pantries or something? And stuff
I'm not going to say where it is because then people... I'm just kidding. But I mean, no, I really I was thinking about like I have friends that can foods and whatever and you can can meats and I... Who's got time for that, right?
Because canning meats is dangerous business.
Yeah.
Make sure you do that right.
You got to boil things and sterilize things. Or you can spend like $500 and it's painful when you first buy it and you're like, ugh. But then you get like, you can get 3 months worth of food and freeze dried, mm-hmm. packed, small. You can put it under your bed and there's 3 months of food right there. It's pretty amazing. So I just did that.
How long does that last, by the way?
25 years.
Whoa, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
$3,000 will buy you a year's worth of food for four people at Costco.
See, that's a lot of money though. $3,000.
Shit ton of money.
And if I'm ever in a situation where I need a year long supply of food.
There's probably other things going on.
Yeah.
But then you just bust out your guns and you just shoot deer and stuff.
Well, see, did you ever read, I want to say it was World War Z.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, no. So
I never read it, but I watched the movie.
Or do you know what? No, it wasn't World War Z. It was, the book was really good. I thought the movie was good too, but that's just because I like those movies. No, it was actually the book, The Road. Have you ever read The Road?
No.
Again, that was a movie too. Mm-hmm. People always try to be snobby and they're always like, I didn't see the movie. I read the book. And I'm like, all right, freaking Captain Smarty Pants. All I have time for is a 2-hour movie. But this was obviously, I read this before I had kids and a life and all that. But The Road, first of all, if you read it, you're going to want to pluck your eyes out because you're so miserable at the end. It's just depressing. Oh. It's like, yeah, it's just depressing. I mean, it's a good book. But if books are meant to make you feel, then this book is horrible because you just feel horrible as you're reading it. But
see, would you recommend a book like... I don't want to get on a tangent, but yeah. I do kind of want to get it on a tangent. Would you recommend a book like that to a friend? Like, oh, you need to read this book.
Yeah, just because I read it and I want other people to feel my pain. it was a good book. I don't know. It's just like Dear Zachary. Have you seen Dear Zachary?
See, I wouldn't recommend that to anybody.
That's the ongoing joke, I guess, of this podcast. Back when we used to do just group conversations rather than me interview people. But yeah, Dear Zachary is probably the best documentary I've ever seen. If a documentary is meant to have you feel and to tell a story, then it does that brilliantly. And that's why I recommend it to people, because you can watch that. You'll be sucked in. It's brilliant storytelling, but you'll want to kill yourself at the end of it. There's no happiness. There is zero happiness in that movie.
Sucks the life out of you.
Yeah, it's horrible. But the Road is the same thing. And what I liked about it, and right now, to be honest with you, I can't remember if it was The Road or if it was World War Z that was talking about this, but it was like, okay, let's say in The Road, you don't know what happens. I think it's nukes. You just assume it's nukes. And there's a nuclear winter. And which one is it? Nuclear. Yeah, it was Bush that said nuclear, right? So it was a nuclear winter, and it's this guy and his son, and they're surviving on the road. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's winter time, at least in my head it did, because they talk about your dog's behind you. They talk about it's gray all the time. But I guess it doesn't matter, because it's gray all the time because there's just a dust cloud in the sky. Mm-hmm. Everything's dead because, you know, plants can't grow. Well, that's the big thing. Plants can't grow. The water is contaminated. The road is covered in ash. Everything's burning and there's nothing to eat. And you know what? Now that I think about it, I think this is in both books. But if you're in a situation, let's say shit hits the fan, and just take North Carolina. Everyone in North Carolina suddenly had to fend for themselves. Well, the stores are going to be done within, like, in that situation, it'd be done within a day. Because people are going to go all out with their AR-15s. I mean, it's going to be bloody. If it's down to like if it's real, if shit gets real, and there's a mushroom cloud and people are like, we're going to die, there's going to be upheaval. People are going to have guns and they're going to steal food. And if you try to take their food, they're going to shoot each other. So this that book kind of gets into that. But once that food's gone, what do you do next, right? So, all right, you can get whatever vegetables are left that haven't died. But then once they're dead, how are you going to grow them? There's no sun. The rainwater is contaminated. The deer. They talked about how people just went out and shot everything. There was like nothing left. Plus a lot of them died too from the blast. And so like in that situation, the book is pretty... I won't talk about what happens in the book, but let's just say there is some human consumption going on. But it would end to that, you know? People would end up eating each other.
You know, when I was younger, I remember when people would talk about cannibalism, I just thought, oh, that's just so awful. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
But
and
you
now when
mind.
I hear that, I'm like, it's reasonable. If you're starving, might as well eat some people.
I don't know. I don't think I could do it. I could eat...
just seems practical.
I could eat my dog.
Oh.
Although he would, I was explaining to Kara, my lovely wife, how she got so pissed at me. I was talking about like how he's old, and I'm like, he'd kind of be kind of gamey and tough, and like he'd bite into like his little fatty tumors, and it'd pop in your mouth. And she was getting so pissed at me for the sole reason that I was describing eating her beloved animal. But yeah.
I mean, it's just a practical thing to do. It would be upsetting. It's not like I'm going to go out and, you know, dig up graves. But if I were in a starving situation, if I was like hanging out with a friend, actually, and we were both like on the road and one of us died, if I were the one who died, I would just be like, dude, just eat me. I mean, save yourself. I'm gonna be gone. I don't care.
In my physiology class, or maybe it was in my anatomy class, the professor told us that your thenar muscle, so the one just below your thumb, like if you look at your palm, that nice meaty chunky spot right there, apparently is the most delicious part of the body.
What? Who? How does he know that?
I think he read it in it was some
cannibalism 101.
Well, no, some British guy, you know, back in the day, went to some island and lived amongst the cannibals there, and he said, he's like, yeah, apparently that is the most delicious. That's the most sought after piece, and I guess so. It kind of looks like a chicken wing. Chomp on that.
I can't believe the bicep isn't tasty.
I'd just be going around. You'd see all these bodies with chunks taken out of their thumbs. I'd leave everything else. Did you ever see Alive, the movie Alive?
No.
They were the rugby team. I want to say rugby or soccer that were up in the Andes, and they crashed, and they had to, it's a true story. They had to eat each other. And they survived for like 6 months in the middle of nowhere, just eating each other. But in the movie, they started with the butt. Yeah, they ate the pilot's butt.
There's a lot of muscle back there, right?
I know, but I wouldn't. No, yeah. I just wouldn't start eating. Like they, and they dug into the, I want to say it was the pilot first, because he's laying there frozen. They're like, we got to eat something. And then the guy goes over and you just see him go, and he cuts off a chunk and just starts eating it. And you're like, ooh, another horrible story. This is a depressing ass podcast.
Well, so actually there was a podcast recently. This is kind of talking about like, because I've always wondered, what would I do if I was really, really hungry? Would I get that desperate? And this guy was talking about how he had been fasting for literally, I think, 20 days. And he was a normal weight person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could just fast.
That's true. But then you would die. Eventually.
Yeah. But if you, okay, so this is an argument for being, you know, an overweight American. This is why we're so overweight in America.
It is. Physiologically,
we're like preparing for nuclear winter so we can just like not eat. Because there was a study where a guy, I mean, they, I don't know, maybe this isn't true, but I've heard it on multiple different podcasts.
You're talking about that Indian guru who just never ate ever?
No. I think that sounds interesting too. What?
I think it's fake. I mean, there's no, it has to be fake. What do you mean I think it's fake? You can't just not eat.
Well, there was a man who was like very overweight. Mm-hmm. And they had to replenish some nutrients. I think they were monitoring him, but he didn't eat for a year at least.
Wow. Yeah, I guess if you took your, but everything would have calories in it. So like, were they just, so technically he would have to eat, because if they stuck a tube up your nose to give you like protein and vitamins and stuff, like that's technically eating.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the nutrition, like the nutrients, mm-hmm. that was cheating.
But he never ate, like, yeah. Wow. That's a way to do it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, that also, it screws up your body too, though. Because your body is designed, so your body weight is a very hormonal balance. It's more than calories in, calories out. You don't just eat one calorie and burn one calorie. That's why you have an average calorie diet, right? And you stay the same weight. Like someone who's not overeating and someone who's not undereating, someone who just eats when they're hungry, they've never been obese, they will stay within a weight range as long as they don't like have a Twinkie habit or something like that, but they'll stay in a weight range because your body knows how to adjust for it. It says, okay, I'm 160 pounds. I have 15% body fat. Well, probably more, 18% body fat. And the body, there's a chemical called leptin that's released from fat that goes to the brain. And it says, okay, we're fat enough that if there was a famine, we would probably survive. So then you decide, all right, I'm 160 pounds. I want to lose some weight. For whatever reason, I'm going to be 140 pounds, and you lose the weight, you get down to 140. Now the body has a regulatory system technically that's looking for that extra leptin. It knows where it wants to be at 160, and that's permanent. So your metabolism will slow down. You won't be able to maintain that 140 is what I'm trying to say. Your metabolism will slow down. Your cravings will go up. Your activity level will slow down. You'll be fatigued because your body doesn't want to burn calories. It wants to put that weight back on, mm-hmm. so you become 160 again, which is why people who weigh 320 pounds lose weight and then it just slowly comes back on, because your body is just going to down regulate to allow your weight to get back up. It's a depressing thing, especially if people are trying to lose weight, because your body is going to, whatever your high point is, your body's going to fight to get back to that forever.
You're citing a recent story, a recent study, right?
Actually,
relatively recent, like actually, the last few months.
As a PA and as a medical provider, you would think that this is from my physiology classes or whatever, which a part of it
No one really knows. I mean, what you just said is, that's, I mean, the entire explanation that you gave, I think, is not commonly, it's either, I don't know, I think there are, for some people, it's definitely true, but I think there's probably still a lot of factors also.
Oh, it's a ton. It's more than, it's a very, and that's why, I mean, today we can eat so many calories. Never before has there been so many calories packed in so few, like a candy bar, you know, 300 calories. If you tried to eat something as small as a candy bar that weighed 300 calories back in 1840, I guess you would eat a bowl of butter. I mean, I don't know. And who's going to do that? So like it's our system of maintaining weight and eating properly is totally hijacked with today's, what's available today. And that's why the obesity problem. And I like this explanation better. Let me back up, because I was going to say before I said that, this actually I got from an HBO show called, it was an HBO documentary called, it was like The Science of Weight Loss or something. It's on YouTube. You can just put it in YouTube, The Science of Weight Loss, and they talk a lot about this. But to get back to what I was saying before, which is, you know, 30 seconds ago, so it's completely gone out of my brain, what we were just talking about, the, I don't remember, I was going to go on to something else about the food, but whatever. I mean, it's a complicated process. Oh, and that's what I was going to say. The we shift, so there's a huge way to blame, or there's a huge, it's a societal thing. You see someone that weighs 350 pounds, you want to say, oh, that guy's a fat ass, lose weight. You know what I mean? Or, you know, cruel people will say that. Maybe you say it in your head, whatever. And if he loses weight, he puts it back on. You're like, dude, willpower, just don't put the chocolate in your mouth or something. But it's way beyond that.
But it does come down to, I believe you, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of wondering about this whole willpower. I do think it has something to do with willpower still, like if just a few tweaks.
Yes, yes.
But like I'm an overweight person and I know that it's totally like my sister.
You're overweight?
I'm not.
Do you know what your BMI is?
There's
no way it's over 25.
I've been close to being overweight.
Okay.
And my sister is very thin, and mm-hmm. she asked me the same question. She's like, why don't you just not eat that much? And I'm like, you have no idea what it's like. Like,
no, because your body is telling you.
Yeah, it's just like every part of you wants to just shove something in your face.
Your brain, and that's your brain saying, I need to get back. So wherever you were at your high point, your brain's always going to want to get back there. And that's, you know, like you're laying on the couch and you're like, oh man, I need to work out. And you're like, oh, this couch is so comfy. That's your brain saying, no man, don't burn the calories. We want them. We want to be fat. That's how between your ears is your whole reality. And if your reality is telling you one thing over another, then it's hard to ignore that. But there's new medications out there, and they're working on a leptin injection, which is great. It won't make you lose weight, but it'll keep it from coming back on. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that I'm using with a lot of my patients called liraglutide, which is technically a diabetic medicine. It's called Saxenda, Saxenda. You take an injection and it's all hormones. It's 97% endogenous hormones. It's exogenous. So endogenous means in your body. Exogenous means you inject them into your body. But the overall makeup of this medicine is 97% what would be in your body anyways. So you give yourself a shot and it works on a bunch of different chemicals, or hormones, ghrelin. There's no leptin in there, but, it's what they call a, GLP-1 mimetic. You can look that up because I'm not going to explain what that means. But basically what it does is it tells your brain, I'm full. It tells your stomach not to move food through it fast enough. And those are the two big reasons right there. So you go to eat, and let's say you can normally eat 5 pieces of pizza. You eat one piece, and it's the transit through your stomach is slowed down. So you're like, I can't eat another piece, even if I want to. And people do this. They'll stuff themselves, and they'll projectile vomit because their stomach just can't handle it. It's just not moving through. Yeah. And then the second thing is, yeah, you're just not hungry. You may be hungry, but then you eat that one piece of pizza and you're like, I'm done. So I've had incredible results with patients on this. It's yeah. really good medicine. Yeah. Just having them inject themselves is a tricky thing, but, people feel, side effects are nausea. At first, you can have nausea. It's GI, so nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, whatever. Constipation is a big one because it slows down the food transit. But, one of the things, I think this is my theory. I don't know if this is true, but if you're not hungry, but your stomach is empty, your brain kind of says, we must be sick. So let's be nauseous, because the only time your stomach's empty and you're not hungry is you're not feeling well. And I think it's like a misfire of your brain, because eventually that goes away. So at first, when you're not hungry, I mean, when you're not hungry, but you're still ready to eat, mm-hmm. your body's like, oh, this must mean we're sick, bah! Right? But you get used to it, and then eventually you're just not hungry. So I don't know. It's a good medicine, and I think it's. I mean, it has its risks. There's some things associated with it, like pancreatitis, and there's a theoretical risk of medullary thyroid carcinoma, but it's a theoretical risk. Rats caught it, and they said, could this mean that humans catch it? I guess so, but I don't think it's that big of an issue.
How long do you treat?
The other thing. So if I want to use, normally I would use like phentermine, which is a stimulant. So basically you're giving them speed. So you're, right, you're running around and speed or any sort of methamphetamine like Adderall and things, those naturally make you not hungry. So that's why there's a side effect with kids. You put them on Adderall, they lose weight. Well, adults, you put them on phentermine, they lose weight. But it increases your heart rate, increases your blood pressure, can increase interocular pressure for people that have
glaucoma.
Yeah. So it's, and then, so you could give your people a heart attack. It's addicting. And you can only go on it for 3 months. This medicine is none of that. And you can go on it for 5 years if you want. It's, it also helps you maintain a weight. So, and that's where the important thing is, right? Because you lose the weight. I can take any one of my patients and have them lose 50 pounds for a wedding. But once they stop, it's going to come back on. I can guarantee them. I'll be like, it's going to come back on. So why are you doing this to yourself?
You're going to get so many patients. So many people are going to schedule appointments with you.
Well, because I'm not available for the public, only my, I'm an employee health. So only people that work for my organization can come in and see me.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's the greatest PA job in the world. But I just went on a huge tangent because what I wanted to get at, this all started from, we were talking about Hurricane Matthew. Oh, did you have a question about that medicine?
No, I just really want it. Okay.
What I don't know if you'd qualify. Matthew? You'd have to be at like, I think if your BMI is 27 or 28, you might be able to go on it.
So I could just look, I could gain 10 pounds.
There you go.
Get there.
And yeah, it's a tricky thing. I mean, it's, but I mean, yeah. All right. So that's that. But what I was going to go, now let's go back to, that was me rewinding something. Let's go back to Hurricane Floyd.
Whipping something.
Yep. What happened? We didn't lose electricity. I'm like, great. And believe it, this is actually how this conversation started 20 minutes ago. We didn't lose electricity, but we lost water. And that was like a nightmare. It was a nightmare. I'm like, everything's covered. I got food. I got this. We don't have water. I have a emergency pump that can filter, but it's like a military one. And it's in my go bags. Yes, I have go bags. But if we had to leave the house and needed water, you can pump like 16 ounces. It takes like 10 minutes to do it. And I'm not about to do that for four people for the whole weekend. But if you needed water, I have a filter pump, a little handheld one that can get it. Yeah. But I mean, but when you're talking just for regular, I got two kids, I got a dog, you know, brushing your teeth, showering, washing your hands. Oh my God, we needed so much water and we just didn't have any.
Yeah.
I had my rain barrel. I was using that to flush the toilets because you don't even think about that, right? Uh-huh. You got to flush the toilets. Yeah. And then, well, it was good that like the fire stations and stuff had bottled water and we went out and bought like some of the stuff that was left. But yeah, didn't even think of that. So you think you're prepared and then you're just like, phew, an hour later, you're just screwed.
Wait, go bags?
Yeah.
So what? See, I feel like this is a good topic.
Okay.
Like, have we talked about prepping before? Because I want to be a prepper. Did I tell you this?
I don't know if we ever talked about it, but yeah, I know that you want, like, you want to be a no kidding, like the crazy prepper.
I mean, what do you mean crazy? Like that's what?
You know,
what
the ones that the ones that are like, any day now, China's going to drop the bomb right on top of us. Any day, y'all who ain't doing this, you, and then you're like, come on, dude. All right, you can prepare for,
yes.
Like, what's the end game? You can have 20 years of stored food, but then what? You're sitting in your thing by yourself just eating your food until you die of loneliness or shoot yourself because you're sick of talking to the rat that's the only thing that's living?
Okay, maybe not that. But, I mean, I think there's something... I mean, you, it sounds like you have some sort of...
Yeah, I have at least, I would say for my family, maybe 8 to 10 weeks of sustainable food. And that's if like this, like let's say there's a big oil embargo or there's something where the trucks have slowed down, they can't fill the or the dollar collapses or something like
Trump
that
wins president.
If there's something major going on that because think about it, if something happens, people are going straight to the grocery stores. Anything. I mean, remember when the Ebola thing happened?
Yeah.
People started going to the grocery stores.
Yeah.
When
in
that
America?
First broke. Yeah. Because people were waiting for it to come here. They thought it was going to come here and they should stay home. And let's just say that happened. There's a perfect example.
It could have happened.
Yeah. And so what's the answer to that? You don't go out, right? So you close the door, you shut the curtains, and you say, let's ride this out. Hopefully it won't take longer. But your truck drivers aren't moving food. People aren't going out. It's a short-term problem that I have covered for the short term. I'm not looking at years. I'm looking at, all right, we can hang out here for 10 weeks. drink.
You'd go insane, though.
Yeah, you would.
Think of how crazy it would be.
Well, I got
staying in the house for 10 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I got 3 other people here, so we would find things to do. No, we would all try.
That's what I'm saying. You go crazy.
Family of 4 found hung to death. After 3 weeks of we would
3 days.
3 days, yeah. 3 hours of being locked in. No, but we, yeah, no, it would be crazy. But at least I thought we were ready, but we're not because we'd be like.
We didn't have any water.
Yeah. But now, so now I got to think about water. There's the Life Straw. You ever heard of the Life Straw?
No.
It's a straw.
Wait, yes, I have.
That filters.
Tell me about it again. Okay.
It's just, and then you put it in the water. So you like you can put it down into a stream and just suck the water out of there and then you're good to go.
A straw into any water. So yeah. You just like put it into the sewer.
It's called I guess you could. It's called a Life Straw, but really it's like, you know, it looks like I don't even know what to, the size of it. It's like a, it's not just a straw. It's a big unit and that filters the water. But they make,
heard you making that sound, by the way.
Oh, really?
He was started walking around.
He's like, oh, I want a treat. So the Life Straw makes like a big one. So it'll filter more than that. And I totally would have done it if we were, yeah, why not? I mean, I had it. I want to use it, right? But yeah, my go bag, though, I have probably 2 to 3 days of water for me and my family. And it's you can buy, not the Navy.
Nalgene bottles.
No, they're the Coast Guard approved water packets. Are probably disgusting, but they last for 5 years. Yeah, and you can just throw them in there. So I got a bunch of those, and then I got some like granola bar, same thing, like 10-year lifespan. I got some. There's these things you can get called they're like Go pellets or something. They're just constipation in a pill. It's just like this fiber block that has all these nutrients pounded into it. Oh. Basically, chew on that, and you're good for like 8 hours. So. I have things like, and then gloves and then rope and then a knife and then a signal mirror and whatever you need, a little saw, a little tent, basically as a tarp and some paracord. So yeah, if we had to like suddenly run for the mountains, we could just grab that, get in the truck.
Hopefully you're never like under arrest for murder. Cause if they search your house and they find that bag, they're gonna be like, yeah. Why do you have gloves and a rope?
You're ready to knife? Row, ready to go. An AR-15 and you got to arm yourself. So we would just go.
You got an AR-15?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You've never seen an AR-15? No, it's well hidden.
I watch TV, so.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And the whole reason why I have an AR-15 is just to piss off people that want to take away guns. Because I'm like, screw you, here's my AR-15. If you don't understand what guns are for, you obviously don't. You really don't understand the Constitution. Hey, no, but that just means that you just want to stand by your guns. You're about. No, it has nothing to do with that. But I don't want to get into that. That conversation's for another day. But yeah, I just wanted to come on here. We had huge flooding.
I have no idea what Redneck Joe was just saying. I don't get it. What was he gonna say?
I don't remember what Redneck Joe was just saying. Redneck Joe was Savannah and I were working on another project and we decided to do this podcast really quickly to tell the fans that we're safe now and we're both kind of spent. So I don't know what I was saying there. But so water, I ran out of water. There was a lot of flooding. I have pictures. I tweeted out some pictures of how deep the water was around my office. And I'll tweet these out again for the fans who want to see this, but let me show Savannah.
Right, you mean the fan?
Here. The fan. I don't know why I say that. It's so conceited, isn't it? You're like, the fans. Come on, dude. Get real. For my mom. Tweet these out for my mom.
When I grew up in Southern Texas, and we would regularly get rain that would just flood the streets. And to me, it was nice. It was like, oh, it's river playtime.
I didn't realize you were a Texan. Texas is my favorite state.
Oh yeah,
we almost moved there. I can't find the pictures, but if you go onto the Twitter at Wait What If, you'll be able to see the pics that I sent out there. But yeah, lots of flooding. We had one guy die right down the road from where we were.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he was in a car. He was trying to get out, but he was too fat. Hey, look it, we went full circle. Lose weight. He couldn't get out of his car, and the fire department pulled up on their boat, and he was like, I can't get out. And they're like, all right, we'll break the back window. Yeah. And by the time they got around to the back window, it had just sunk, And then it was gone. The water was moving so quick, and they said they were using poles and everything. They couldn't find them. And then I want to say it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It might have been, what's today? Thursday. So yeah, it was yesterday. A farmer, the waters finally went down, and a farmer's like, "Wow, that's weird. A car's in the middle of my field." And they went out there, and sure enough, there he was. Yeah, crazy. But yeah, so this was like a legit storm. People were dying. We didn't have water. It was crazy. And again, this is probably, remember we were talking at the beginning before we recorded any of this, and like first world problems. And it's probably in the grand scheme of things, this was a first world storm. You know, one guy, okay, it's tragic, but like Haiti gets hit with a tidal wave and 400,000 people are dead and the buildings are ruined. And you know what I mean? It's like,
by the way, so when people donate money to Haiti, mm-hmm. somebody told me recently that if you calculate how much money was donated, mm-hmm. each Haitian should have gotten $2,000 each.
Oh, seriously?
Which is like a ridiculous amount of money for them.
Yeah.
So what's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big thing that they don't even have it. They never got it. Like 10% of it was actually used. Yeah, that's one of those things that it gets so deep in the political realm that the mainstream media just kind of turns it off. You'll hear about it every now and then, money not received, but then they're like, oh, let's back off on this because it's going to affect people's elections and crap. But yeah, if you dig into that, yeah, that's a whole travesty. Clinton was involved in it. Oh yeah, there's this whole like nepotism thing, like her brother had a construction company that went down and they never built anything, but they got the bid. Yeah, it's crazy. They're all friggin' corrupt. We're screwed. Trump, Clinton this year. I mean, seriously, baby boomers, that's who you gave us? Is that the worst generation ever? I don't know.
I don't know.
Man, this is we can't stay on one topic. But yeah, so we just want to touch base and say it was a crazy storm. Not as crazy, I guess, as it could be, but I learned that we'd be screwed unless I have water. And how about you? Anything new?
No, nothing. Although there is this week. We're probably gonna publish this after, but
I might put it out this week.
This Saturday we're gonna have another Triangle Futurist meetup. We're gonna be talking about Kevin Kelly's The Inevitable, is pretty cool.
What's The Inevitable?
He's just talking about future technologies that are inevitable, and that's good stuff. It's really interesting stuff.
If I wasn't doing something Saturday, I would go there. Uh-huh. You're supposed to say, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, washing my dog. No, I. Do you know what I'm hearing a lot about, though? Well, Callum Chase is going to be on pretty soon. I have like a list of shows that have been published, but yeah. Callum Chase is another AI guy, and he was talking about what we call the economic singularity. Mm. And it's true. You're starting to hear more people talk about it, meaning the idea that technology is going to basically eliminate jobs. All our jobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to be sitting here going, what do I do now?
Yeah. So. I need to think about that one. Because it still seems like it's so far away, but it makes perfect sense.
2030, they say.
2030, yeah.
Which doesn't like maybe, that seems like ridiculous? That's 12 years away.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's 13 years away.
I just said I know.
Like, yeah.
That's right. Pretty soon. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all. This is a little extra show for my fan. Take care.
Like us on facebook.com/WWIPodcast and at WWIPodcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio. We hope you enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.